Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. The crosses of St. George are flying all around me. Gareth Southgate, the whole of England is with you.
It's coming home, boys. Except if you're listening after Wednesday, this podcast of Wednesday, and we've been knocked out of the semi-final, then it's not coming home. Nigel, welcome to the podcast. I should have said good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast.
Season 7, episode 42. Nigel, is it coming home?
I'm in my shed. Oh, sorry.
Is it coming home?
Sorry, wrong. Go on, do it again because I spoiled that. Well, cut that. Go on, go.
Nigel, is it coming home?
It's coming home. It's coming home.
Gonzo, is it coming home?
It wants to, but it's got a connecting flight at Charles de Gaulle Airport. It's going to stay there for 4 years, I think.
Oh, right. Anyway, welcome to More Than Just a Podcast. Another impromptu in the middle of the World Cup special. We're recording on Monday night, and we welcome back Nigel. Nigel, where are you, and what are you doing?
I'm in my shed, drinking a bottle of Magners.
Gonzo, welcome back. Where are you, and what are you doing?
I am under the stairs, drinking a cup of tea and drinking an ice cream.
Excellent.
You don't drink tea. I've watched you. You don't drink tea. I've watched him, a cup of tea with Gonzo. I sat there once, through the whole lot once, thinking... The first thing I thought of was, he ain't even drunk a cup of tea. It's supposed to be a cup of tea.
I always drink a cup of tea, Nigel.
I'll have to dig out the episode, because the episode I watched, I remember thinking, where's the tea then? Is it Yorkshire tea? What is it?
It is Yorkshire tea. The golden one.
You've got to have Yorkshire tea golden, because that's stronger.
Anyway, it's not a hot drink podcast. It's a football podcast. So let's talk about some football. The signing, the news of the day, is the eventual signing of Jack Wilshere. By the way, I'll correct myself and admit, you know, for a long time I said it wasn't going to happen. His wages were too expensive. It was too injury prone. And I stick by that. People close to the board said, Wilshere's not for us. He's too expensive and he's too injury prone. But guess what? Pellegrini had different ideas with the director of football, Mario. And this shows the power of Pellegrini, maybe. Because he said, I want him. And we're paying him three-year contract, 100 grand a year. And
100 grand a year?
100 grand a week.
Oh, right. And
the add-ons? 100 grand a year would have been really good. Let's start with you, Nigel. Good signing? Are you a naysayer on this signing or positive about
it? No, positive.
Young Jack?
You know me. I love it when we sign a West Ham fan. I'd dream of the day when we have 11 West Ham fans on the pitch playing for us,
yeah,
rather than all these Johnny come lately foreign as Carlos Kickerball?
Born in Stevenage, but from a West Ham family. Dad was a West Ham fan. Brother has stayed a West Ham fan. His nephews have stayed West Ham fans.
Well,
only his mum was an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, apparently you don't have to be born in West Ham to be a West Ham fan. Now, obviously this is only something I've learned, like, thanks to the internet, because up until about 2010, I thought everybody that went West Ham was born in Canning Town. So,
no, no. How wrong are
you? No, but now, you know, now I've got friends in America who years ago I would have shouted at them to get out my fucking way. You know, when they were standing on Green Street.
Hello, Dave. Hello, John. And hello, American
Tony and Wiley. You know, years ago, if you stood in front of me, I actually used to shout, get out of the fucking way when you take, screw it, the swim. When you're taking the pictures, because all the Yanks used to line up and take a picture of Green Street because they'd seen that film that I was in.
Anyway, let's bring you back to Jack Wilshere.
Yeah.
Right? He's a West Ham fan. We got that out of the way.
Very good
even though you're giving me grief.
I was giving you grief.
Well, where do you think he's going to play? Where's his best position?
Midfield.
Where will Pellegrini play him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I'd replace Mark Noble with him. Yeah, I've said it. That's what I would do. I'm not saying sell Noble or get rid of him. I think you keep him around the team forever. But it depends. Let's see, you know, there's other deals to be done here. So once the squad's formulated, whenever it closes the first week of August, then we can see where. But for me, I think his best work is done centrally.
Yeah. He made 38 appearances last season.
Yeah, but a lot of them were cup games, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think he was 20 UEFA Cup.
20 league and 18 cup.
Yeah.
He played 29 league at Bournemouth and he got injured as well as part of that. So.
But he got injured right in, I think it was in the April at Bournemouth, right at the end.
Yeah, he did.
But I think Gonzo would know, because I think Gonzo's like Jack Wilshere's number one fan, aren't you, Chris?
Well, aside from yourself, Nigel, as you suggested in the previous podcast. But yeah, I'm in a heightened, frenzied state of excitement about it, really. I'll probably be more excited about this transfer than anyone else that we get linked with, regardless of the transfer fee. You know, we could pay $40 million for this Anderson. In fact, the matter is, I ain't got a clue who the guys have never seen him play. But from day one, when I saw Wilshere, the first time I saw him was on the telly, of course, but it was, Arsenal played a double friendly against Glasgow Rangers, back to back on consecutive days. And he was absolutely sensational. I guess he was 16, 17 then. And he just had all the hallmarks of a player that we would traditionally love at West Ham. Low centre of gravity, pass and move, just, you know, with full commitment as well, not a lazy passer and mover. I just think the whole crowd are going to warm to him. I just can't see a negative in the deal. We get a 30.
Well, as long as he stays fit. You know, what we don't want is typical West Ham to come out on the first day, you know, get injured and be out for the season. And to him to, you know, the risk is he turns into an Andy Carroll, isn't it?
Well, go on, Nigel. Go on.
It reminds me of a signing that we made from Arsenal back in the 80s. Stuart Robson, West Ham fan as a kid, great Arsenal player, but had his injury problems, came to West Ham. What did he do? Was our best player. Even when he came back from injury, I think he still won Hammer of the Year and was then shown the door, deemed not to be too injury prone, went to Coventry and won Coventry Player of the Year. So this is what I'm looking to see. I think Jack's going to be brilliant.
But you did remind me when I was tweeting out about Jack's family connections to West Ham, and I said, people were saying, well, like being a West Ham fan makes a difference. You remind me of Gary Charles, Nigel.
No. You said he's got claret and blue blood in his veins, as if to justify why he's going to be a great player. And I'm not going to knock Gary Charles because I knew him personally as a kid.
Well, you did knock him. You slighted him.
No, what I said was, so did Gary Charles, though. Having claret and blue blood, I've got claret and blue blood running through my veins. So have you.
Yeah, but you were
a rubbish
keeper,
wouldn't you? We would have put you on a football field, wouldn't we? Realistically. Hey, So that's all. That was what I was making the point.
Hammer of the year, Gonzo. Do you reckon? Hammer of the year in the making, first
who
year.
Who knows? It depends on the other signings we make. It depends, as you suggested, that our Pellegrini is going to deploy him. But certainly a crowd favourite, Sean. I think for the moment, yeah. He does his first pirouette or first nutmeg or first bit of skill. We'll think, hold on, this is brilliant. We've had a dysfunctional midfield, as far as I'm concerned, for quite some time. And I do think any time we've had flair players, maybe you take the final season at Upton Park out of the equation, and there was obviously some good link play with Payet and Noble and obviously Lanzini when he was involved as well. But footballing players will want to play alongside him. And I think there's time.
Ian Dowell's dog's back.
Sorry?
Ian Dowell's dog's back.
Yeah, absolutely. The wife's back from the shop. You'll have to excuse me. She's coming back with some more tea, funny enough, Nigel.
Oh, I can't believe you said that. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. Anyway, I'm glad you mentioned Payet because that's the news in the week as well. X on his radio show mentioned a mystery player, said he wasn't allowed to reveal it. Jacob Steinberg didn't read the script. Quite a few of us knew it was, but it was rumoured, etc. But Jacob Steinberg decided to break it. And the news that Dimitri Payet, Le Snake, as some people call him, have been offered back at West Ham at slightly more than we'd sold him, which is about 22 million, and at more money wages than he left. Did that come as a surprise to you? No, it obviously came as a surprise to anyone. Let's start with you, Nigel. Would you take him back?
Ooh, let us start with me. Would I take him back? Not for more money and not for more wages. No.
All right, how much? What price does it become interesting? He's 31 years old.
With his quality, what did we pay for him first time round?
10.7 million.
There you go. That's what I'd pay.
And wages? He was on £67,000 basic, although it's a very complicated wage structure that could go up to 125 a week.
I'd put him on a structured wage deal. So, again,
Pay as you play. That ain't going to happen.
Which I think they've done with Jack, haven't they? Haven't they done pay as you play?
No.
No? Oh, right, okay.
He's got appearance money, but it certainly isn't pay-as-you-play, unless you know better.
No, I don't know, Bill. I don't know nothing.
Gonzo. Payet.
I was surprised. I disbelieved it. You know I disbelieved it, Sean, because I messaged you.
Yeah.
I wasn't having any of it. I'm still not really having any of it. I just can't see any situation where that transfer happens. I was a little bit...
Are you denying it happened or just denying that it will ever happen?
Well, I'm denying it'll ever happen. I'm cynical as to whether there was any serious talks. I mean, the whole thing was there's 10% likelihood it'll happen. You know, listen, we're trying to plan our holiday at the moment. If I turn around to my kids and say, look, we're 10% likely to go on holiday, then we're unlikely to go on holiday as far as they're concerned. So I just think it was a non-story. And I also think it came at the bad time because it dampens the Jack Wilshere excitement, if you like. Fortunately, I think we've got that back now. In terms of him coming back, I think he was the best player we've had for years and years and years. I really do. I think you'd struggle statistically and just looking at someone's impact on a season to find somebody who has been so effective, particularly an attacking player. So there would be a lot of reasons to bring him back.
Yeah, I would take him back in a heartbeat. We did a poll on Clarence Hugh because we like our polls. 4,438 voting, 2,501, which is 56%, just over that, said they would have him back. 1,937, just under 44%, said nah. I mean, some said he's got to apologise, he's got to make a statement, he'd have to go 6 months without wages, pay as you play, all that lot. My understanding, sources close to the club, is it is very unlikely. However, they could see a deal, but they wouldn't pay more than around 14 or 15 million. They certainly wouldn't give Marseille a profit on the 22 million they sold him for, and they of which Marseille still own quite a big chunk of that to West Ham, and they wouldn't put him on super you know, wages of over 100 grand a year.
What's behind this building? Why was the approach made?
Well, there's two reasons, I'm told. The first reason is Marseille need to balance some books. The second reason is agents love to make money. And they only make money each time a big deal's done. So, come on, this is completely agent-led. His agent. Who's it? Who brokered the last deal to get Payet to... Not his French agent, but who brokered the deal to bring him in?
Payet's agent.
Yeah, but who brokered it?
I don't know. Who's
Mark Mackay, son of Willie Mackay.
Oh, right.
So I don't know, but I can bet that he's behind, you know, there's something behind it again.
Was Willie Mackay, he was Fat Sam's agent, wasn't he?
That's Mark Curtis.
Oh, was it? Oh, right. Oh.
Anyway, Payet ain't going to happen. So let's move on. I was told off for doing too big a monologue. So all I'm going to say on the transfers, I got told over the weekend the club are being quite tight-lipped on active transfers, and quite rightly too. But you know how it goes. Everything really leaks. I was told over the weekend 4 active deals that are working on. We could sign some of them. We could sign none of them. Really helpful. But obviously, we signed one. That was Jack Wilshere. I know people have said it was already done, but it wasn't. He turned up this morning at the London Stadium on Monday, only signed his contract this morning, announced this afternoon. So that's 1 out of the 4. The next one is Yamienko. Is that right? God, help me out.
Yamienko, isn't it?
Yamienko. So,
let's call it
that. To be fair to Axe West Ham employee, he got this one, told me about this one to begin with, and it's ballooned. Sky have been running it. And for one, I'm going to tell you something. Sky have got it right. Today, Sky are reporting that he's flown to Switzerland about to take a medical. And my sources at the club, because I thought, oh, yeah, Sky get nothing right, say that's absolutely right. He is going to Switzerland to do a medical. And in fact, he signed to ProStar. I don't know if you remember who ProStar is. It's a agency.
It's a five-a-side football team in Dagenham.
I thought they were banned in the 80s.
It's a football agency founded by Nick Rubery. And if you don't know who Nick Rubery is, he was or is Ravel Morrison's agent. So Ravel's Morrison agent started ProStar. The CEO of ProStar has tweeted a picture or posted a picture on Instagram tonight at West Ham Players Hotel. So there you go. I mean,
how do you know he's not joining FC Lausanne?
Why would you say that?
Well, he's in Switzerland.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen.
So's Lausanne.
His parent club, Borussia Dortmund, have admitted they're in conversations with a club. They wouldn't name them. They've admitted that they agreed to sell him. They've agreed that they've given permission for him to talk. He's in Switzerland now with his agent. So what do you think is going to happen? Apparently, he signed from Dynamo Kiev, I think, a year ago for £22 million from memory.
Oh, he's done well.
It looks like he's going for €20 million, which is about 17.5 million quid. I'm excited about this one. Are you not excited about this transfer?
I've never seen him play. I don't know who he is.
Gonzo, you know
who he is. I do know who he is. I'm not excited about it. He's skillful. In many respects, he's got a lot of an Arnautovic about him. But I just wonder where this pace is going to come from, because he's not quick. Well, so apparently...
Yeah. Well, he's also on the right wing, which we'll come back to in a minute. The other two, I believe... is a Corinthian centre-back, Fabian, and I can't pronounce his second name, so Nigel's going to say it.
Rocky Balboa.
It's not Balboa.
Balbuena, isn't it?
If you say so. So his club have confirmed that we've paid the release clause of about €4 million, so £3.5 million. He needs a work permit, because he doesn't play enough international games. Again, it's another one. South American agent apparently offered it to us. DS apparently passed it on to our director of football, Mario. Mario's done the whole deal. I guess it's a little gamble at £3.5 million. That might be the backup centre back we're looking at. But the big news, over the weekend, I was told, we can't tell you names, but we are going to break the club record at £40 million. And I started, Q and myself started scratching our heads thinking, who on earth is this be? You know, the Anderson deal's dead. Seems a bit too much for Siri from Nice. Who is there another name out there? Well, tonight we've been told that the Anderson deal, Philippe Anderson deal, is not dead. And they do think they're going to get this one over the line. So that will be an absolute club record, £40 million. I think Daily Mail were ahead of this morning and running it. I didn't believe it. I thought they got it wrong. Sources close to Italy, but they got it right. I know we've talked about Philippe Anderson before, Nigel. Are you excited about it? Apparently Pellegrini, this is the one player he wants beyond all others.
Well, in Pellegrini we trust, so let's hope so. Again, I watch enough English football. I'm not really bothered with foreign football. So I can't I can't even claim to know if this geezer's worth 40 million or not. I just can't really say. It seems like Lazio fans like him.
Yeah,
which is possible a good signing. So, because, you know.
I've been told Pellegrini wants him. It's his marquee signing.
Well, look,
Bilic
really wanted Cavallo, right? And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but having seen the geezer in the World Cup now, because I hadn't seen him, I think Sullivan perhaps did the right thing in not buying the bloke.
Yeah.
Because he looked like ordinary to me. So, you know, all the people that were screaming at him, pay the money, and all this, when the transfer email got leaked and everybody laughed at Sullivan and everything, looks like Sully was right.
And then Donker.
Watch my math out with soap and water.
Donker, yeah. So, Gonzo, just going back to Anderson, do you know much about him?
Not on that one, but I would have to be excited about it because that is where the pace comes from. In fact, I told my son to sign him on his thing on FIFA, and he was 95 for speed. So he's got to be quick, isn't he? He's virtually quick. Yeah. Whether he's realistically quick is another matter. But I think if the manager wants him, and having seen that the manager's signed Wilshere as well, I'm quite buoyed by the fact, and I think we can allow ourselves to be optimistic, even though we might not have seen him ourselves. As Nigel says, we've got to trust that the manager knows what sort of player he's getting. So these are exciting times. If we do spend 40 million, we spend 17 million on the other geezer, we've bought Wilshere in and the right back and the centre back and all that, then you would have to say these are new times, certainly very different to anything that's happened at West Ham in the past.
Yeah. So I think there's another one. Bruno Bin said, I'm not so sure about Bruno from Sporting Lisbon. I mean, I don't get it, right? So Sky is saying we've bid 20 million or 25 million. I've got no inside track on this, but this guy was one of the guys who apparently cancelled his contract. So why can't we get him for free like all the other people have? And he was valued at a lot more than that. So why would they sell him? You know, we either have him for free, why would we have him for half price? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Why would we want to get wrapped up in this whole thing? And to be honest, we're being linked with too many midfielders now, which brings me on to my last point. We've got a balance of books. So what I'm being told is, despite all this transfer activity, and I'm told with Jack Wilshere signing today, we had to pay a signing on fee and agents fees. We spent about 45 million. Our net spend is going to have to be still budgeted at 70 million. So if we get Anderson, if we spent 45 already in agents fees, transfer fees and signing on fees, a big multi-million pound fees, by the way, for Fredericks and Wilshere, you know, it doesn't come for free. We have only got 25 million net spend left. To get Anderson and to get the other guy,
Balbuena,
we will have to. We'll have to balance the books by selling some people. And Sky have run today, and I make them right, by the way, on this, that Antonio is available, for £15 million or over. Chiarty is available for £10 million. And Obiang's available. Also, previously valued at £15 million. That sounds a little bit optimistic. That might be the way they're balancing the books, of putting those three in the shop window. Would you be upset about that? Let's start with you, Chris.
What about Antonio or the others?
Antonio, Chiarty and
I think it's very cheap, you know, for Antonio, that it would seem that way. He is a proven Premier League goal scorer. I think he's had a bit of a rough ride in terms of his position being moved around. And I think he's got an awful lot to offer. I could see him fitting in at Palace as well, if that is the destination, as is rumoured.
But do you know, forget the price, would you sacrifice him if Pellegrini wants to concentrate on other midfielders? You can't keep all the midfielders.
Well, I think you either, if you either put your trust in Pellegrini or you don't. If Pellegrini deems that Antonio's not right for his system, then you have to go with that. I personally would prefer him to stay and them to work something out. I prefer Antonio rather than this fella from Borussia Dortmund, who is untested in the, not only in the Premier League, but actually, by all accounts, when he went to the Bundesliga from the Ukraine, he flopped. So, yeah, I'd rather keep Antonio. Obiang would be disappointing, but I would understand it. I think if we're going to move our midfield on, which I've already said has been dysfunctional, then I think he would have to be one of the sacrificial lambs, so to speak. And Chiarty, I'd probably say the same, even though he can cover two positions. But you look, Reece Oxford, paid the friendly, Declan Rice, the geezer coming in from South America, the new signing, Ogbonna, we probably do have enough at centre-back to let him go.
Well, it was Obiang rather than Ogbonna.
Sorry, no. I mean, we've got Ogbonna at the back. I'm talking about letting Obiang. I'll talk about Chiarty. Can obviously cover midfield and defence.
How about Obiang, though? Would you sell him?
No, that's who I was talking about. The whole lot was, he's got to be the sacrificial lamb in midfield, and the same for Chiarty.
Okay. Any different views, Nigel? Except in Pellegrini, we trust.
The thing where West Ham, everything we do is so public, and that's a problem. And I'll tell you why, is clubs, we've already admitted that we've got people have already released via their sources that we're only going to spend a 70 million net. Now, if when we crash over that, we're signing Anderson and Yamalamalamalenko, the clubs are going to know we've got to sell. So we'll put 15 million tag on Antonio, but who's to say people ain't going to come in and bid 10 and just sit there and wait? Because at the end of the day, all the other Premier League clubs know we are a cash-strapped club. We can't really afford too much to go over the 70 million net spend. So,
yeah,
I can play games with us. So there's another downside to the publicity that's put out there regarding the way we do our transfer businesses. Not knocking you, though, or any other YTKs that may be present.
We're talking on that. The last two I'm going to mention, which was another exclusive by expert, Reece Burke going to Hull and Josh Colin leaving. Do you make that right? Apparently, I mean, I know the Sun have said he's going to Derby, but apparently he is going to Hull. He's leaving. It's not going to be a lot of money. Might be £1 million or so. Reece Burke, there was great hopes for him, Nigel. Do you think that's the right move?
Good luck to Reece. West Ham boy, born in Newham.
I know that.
You know, on certain away games, he could be seen with the away fans.
Yeah.
So it's always a sad day to see a kid. Did he get a fair crack of the whip? I'd argue no. Did he get a fair crack of the whip? Did he get a fair crack of the whip?
All right, he got a fair crack of the whip at Bolton. He didn't set the... And where else
Bradford,
did he go?
Bradford, where he won Yorkshire Player of the Year. Not just Bradford.
Yeah, he did. You'll be fair. Yeah, he did win.
Chris, did he get a fair crack of the whip?
Not a West Ham. I wouldn't say so. I think it's gone so far now. He's not 17.
It was a one-word answer. Thank you.
Oh, was it?
The answer was, he didn't get a fair crack of the whip. Sorry about that. So he didn't get a fair crack of the whip. So, yes, it's wrong. Josh Cullen never, for me, looked like he was one that was going to make it. He could turn out to be a junior Stanislas where he comes back for another Premier League team.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And fits in well there. But, there's a reason why we're not bringing our kids through, but I don't know it.
All right. Anyway, we're going to move on. There's a World Cup going on. Does anyone know that?
There may be.
So we're through to the semi-final. I've been loving this World Cup. So we're going to do a little roundup. Who we asked last time, let's ask again whether you changed any of your mind. You fancy any of those players in a West Ham shirt, Nigel?
Well, I think a few weeks ago, I said I fancied Harry Maguire in the West Ham shirt. Not in that way. But yeah, I think Harry Maguire has leapt on probably now out of our bounds, funny enough.
Didn't we once have an option for Harry Maguire, if I remember rightly? We were linked with him before he went to Leicester.
I don't know. I can't say I remember him at Hull, to be fair. But obviously, Maguire's done really well. As for foreign players, not really. All the ones that have shone are perhaps out of our league in a way. So, not really. No. Do you know what I'd like, Giroud?
Do you have a problem? Yeah. Do you have a problem with the whole Spurs thing? I was telling the story, and I'm going to come to Gonzo in a minute. I was listening to our friend Moose on Talksport, West Ham fan extraordinaire. And the host said to him, Moose, will you have a problem if England win the World Cup and Spurs start saying they won the World Cup in 2018? He said, yeah, because it's different, because West Ham had 3 players there in the team. And the host said, yeah, Moose, but Spurs have got 5 players. He said, but Bobby Moore was the captain. And the host said, yeah, but Harry Kane's their captain and he's a Spurs player. And he said, yeah, but Jeff Hurst scored a hat-trick. And he went, so did Harry Kane. And Moose just got flustered and went, well, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. As a West Ham fan, I'm going to come to you, Chris, first. Do you have a problem with the whole Spurs connection while supporting England?
Not a problem. It's like a minor irritant, like a bit of an itch, if you like. But it's not full blown hives, if you know what I mean. I can live with it. if England won the World Cup, then I think we'll just have to rejoice in that. For it to be the same, it's not just Harry Kane scoring a hat-trick. Sorry, be pernickety. It's not just Harry Kane scoring a hat-trick. It's Harry Kane scoring a hat-trick in the final and the only other goal being scored by a Tottenham player.
Oh,
as well.
But come on. If we can claim the World Cup in 1966, can't
the detail is everything. And there's other West Ham fans listening to this now who are agreeing with me, because I tell you that, right, we were solely responsible. Obviously, Alan Ball and whatnot might have something to say about it, Gordon Banks. But West Ham really had a huge impact in the final. And also the way that Hurst had taken the shirt off of Greaves as well was a big thing. So I don't think that Harry Kane's hat-tricks against a pub team can really sort of go up against Jeff Hurst's hat-trick in the final against West Germany. But having said that,
What's if Harry Kane scores?
Then we should all rejoice it, and we'd have to put up with the Tottenham fans whinging for years in a way that they have had to put up with us. Well, not whinging; they'll be gloating. Yeah. We've gloated and we've done it really, really well. And we can still. The thing is, if they do that, we can still continue to gloat. We have still won the World Cup. It doesn't take it away from us.
Yeah, won't be the same. You know, look, 1966. I think I speak for all of us. None of us three were born in 1966, right? It's 28 years since we've been in a semi. And as I watched the quarterfinal, George on this podcast said, I've never had a semi. You know, I've never been in a semi. He actually did say that. It was a bit of a joke. He said, it's my first semi.
You need to get out more, son.
So, you know, it's right. There's a whole generation of people that have never been in a semi-final. It's exciting. I'm not bothered by the Spurs thing. It really doesn't bother me. And I've been cheering Harry Kane as much as anybody. Anyway, let's move on. we talked to you already.
You went straight to Chris.
No, we talked to you. We asked you originally who you would sign.
What about the Spurs situation?
And then all right, you asked the Spurs thing. Give us your... I know your take on the Spurs thing.
Come on, Nick. What's my take on the Spurs thing?
You're going to say that it was different because they were so involved in creating all the goals and it's not the same.
Anyway, I've never been a great buy-in to West Ham winning the World Cup. I found it a tad embarrassing. I think the statue, even though I was a believer it should stay where it was the wrong statue. We should have had Bobby Moore with the European Cup Winners' Cup. We were the only football club to have a player to play with a statue outside or near the ground that didn't play for us. Ray Wilson was there, Everton.
Yeah.
So I did find it sort of came, it was a joke, I felt. It was a joke amongst the fans that always went sour when the club bought into it and even made the phone number at one point end in 1966. So I found that embarrassing. But on the other end, when you analyse our win in 66, Jeff Hurst's goal against Argentina came off the Chabrolief playing field that was devised by Ron Greenwood.
Yeah. Oh, you did say that. Yeah.
The near post header. From a quick.
So frame. You're saying so we wouldn't have been in it if it wasn't for that?
It's too early to say whether Tottenham have won this World Cup. I think it diminishes against Bobby Charlton and what he did in the semi final against Portugal.
So, hang on. So if Dele Alli scores a free kick and it's the only goal in the semi-final, is it the same then?
I think you've got to allow Tottenham... If we... I'm a great believer in you do as you do and other people are entitled to go along. We can't mug Tottenham off. If England win the World Cup, we can't mug Tottenham fans off for singing we won the fucking World Cup back at us when we've done the same.
Anyway, we're going to move on. Still got
a
lot to
discuss. We do have Tottenham fans that listen to the show, though. I'll just point that out.
Excellent. Well done. Well done. Thank you for Harry Kane and Dele Alli and Trippier Rose. And who else?
Eric Dyer.
Dyer. Rose. Yeah. Well done.
Oh, not so much you. Eric Dyer.
We played our first match on Sunday in Switzerland and Pellegrini has now got a 100% loss record. He's got a 0% win record. Pellegrini out. Nigel, I know you said you didn't watch it. Gonzo, you said you did. I watched it. I mean, there was 11 players first half, 11 players second half. It wasn't really a proper match. Did we glean anything out of that Gonzo?
Not really. Just the players. It was too hot. The conditions were too hot. The players were. There's a first game of pre-season. I thought there were a couple of things I took away from it. I thought Mark Noble played as if he was really trying to impress the manager, but Mark Noble's old hat at that. He has had to play for his position almost every time there is a new manager. He has to justify his place at West Ham. So he started doing that. Again, I thought Diop looked comfortable in as much as you can against a team who were clearly fitter than us, but not as technically good. I thought Haksabanovic looked better than I remember him. I saw him in the flesh last season in the Checker Trade Trophy. And I thought Nathan Holland, who's a big favourite of mine, showed that he can feature on the bench on and off the bench quite a lot in the coming season.
He was a standout for me, Nathan Holland. I thought he had an outstanding game. Andy Carroll scored a goal, but it was a tap-in. Missed his penalty. God help us. At least Noble did show us how a penalty should be taken. But I think the hosts in Switzerland took it a lot more seriously than West Ham did. And I don't know if you saw at the end, but actually they all collapsed on the pitch. Couldn't even get to the dugout. And a fan came onto the pitch and was like getting all their autographs until a member of security went, "What are you doing there with your West Ham shirt on?" and chucked him off. But yeah, I mean, you do see some people on social media moaning and groaning, going, "Oh, I can't believe we lost our first pre-season. We're going to get relegated." And you're thinking, come on, guys, wasn't a proper game. Not up to match fitness. Two different teams. It's not a proper team. A lot of mixture of academy boys. And it meant absolutely squat all.
So why are we talking about it?
Anyway. Because it was our first match under Pellegrini.
Well, didn't bother me.
So. Anyway, Super Six competition.
Here we go.
You've got an announcement, haven't you, Nigel?
Yes, so we ran a Super Six competition, which is Sky's app where you can predict the scores of World Cup games. So it's over now because they only do it in blocks of six games. And since there's not six games in one block done.
Who won? Just get to the punchline. Yeah, top three.
I've just logged in.
And it's nothing like it. Preparation.
All right. Well, look, the winner was Simon Pope. He won it by 2 points.
Well done, Simon.
So, yeah, Simon... you can get in touch because I know you've bragged about it on Facebook anyway. And a prize will be forthcoming to you. I've got a couple of prizes, so I'll send him a couple of pictures and he can choose. I've got
a view in your shed. The same picture of Nigel Mann in his shed.
I'll autograph it
outside his shed.
And the second prize is two pictures of Nigel in his shit.
An autographed picture of Martin Peters playing for England. Obviously, autographed by Martin Peters.
Nigel autographed it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I tell you, I'm a dab hand at forgeries. And I've also got some other signed pictures of other players, and I'll give him the option. I thought the World Cup Martin Peters picture would be nice. It's in colour. But yeah, it's out of our personal collection, donated, I should say. This, you know, so.
All right. Anyway, moving on. And just a little, after these two short segments, we will be doing Facebook, Twitter question time. So please be ready, Nigel. So just an update. This Thursday, I'm going along to the London Stadium for a meeting with Karen Brady and various other directors and people. I would call it the Supporters Advisory Board, but it's not called the Supporters Advisory Board. We're going to meet for a reconstitution of what used to be the Supporters Advisory Board. It's going to be, I don't know what the name is yet.
SAPS. But, Supporters Advisory Panel. They're all going to be SAPS.
I'm told they will be elected and there will be a chairman who is elected too, and therefore that it will be a chairman running this new board, whatever it's called, rather than the club to give it some independence. So we're allowed to ask questions. I've submitted 12 questions, which Nigel was seen today. We'll see how they answer them, and I'll be able to fill you in on that maybe next week. But yeah, this is the first new All Singing Dancing supporter consultation. The SAB is dead. Long live the SAB. Talking of elected bodies, WISA, the West Ham United Independent Supporters Association, which, by the way, Nigel and myself did found in 2013, along with some other people, is having their elections. And if you're a member of WISA and you got your ballot paper today or this week, if you're listening to it later, you might not notice that Nigel Khan, just remind you of his name, and me, Sean Whetstone, are on the ballot paper, and we're up for election as committee members. Nigel, do you want to say anything to persuade any of our listeners to
interject, please, before you launch your manifestos and all that boring rubbish, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand, and I joined WISA yesterday. You are talking about committee members. That's not the main, like the top Führer, is it? You're just going to be like on the night.
You're going to be like
knights of the round table. And so that's the second to the King Arthur vote, right?
Yeah, but we're a committee, and the whole point of a committee and members is that a chairman just chairs a meeting. He should have no more power than actually individual committee members. And this is one of the reasons I've put myself up for the committee, is actually I think that I've said in my election statement, I want to hold WISA to account. And, you know, there's been a lot of different chairmen. There's been a lot of different committee members. I haven't agreed with everything they've done. And I just think we're there for the members, and therefore the members should agree everything that their name goes to. Nigel?
Yeah. Me and Sean have both got history with WISA, mine more recently. It's difficult.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're welcoming us onto the committee with open arms. But sometimes a bit of friction is
personal,
good.
I've got a personal friend now, Mark, who I think's done a great job in taking WISA forward. Unfortunately, at a cost to himself, but I think we don't need to dwell on that. I think WISA should be more beholden to its members. And the reason I'm standing is I was a pain in the arse to the committee that was there beforehand, in banging the drum about talking to the members and doing what the members want, not what we think the members want. And, you know, that's where I come from, basically. I don't want to be the chairman. I don't want to be the man that runs it. But what I do believe is that WISA should stand as a committee, not as one man. I think previously too much flack was given to just one person, rather than the whole committee standing up. So that's what I would like to see, and that's what I hope to be able to bring, that to make it a more committee-led and make the committee stand by the actions of what WISA do, rather than leave one individual person with his neck on the line.
So a vote for Nigel Khan and Sean Whetstone is a vote for change and transparency. Did you like that soundbite at the end?
Oh, that's going to go down well.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for this. Facebook, Twitter, question time. Yes, it's Facebook, Twitter, question time. And it means that if Nigel's not ready with this... He's ready. Go on, Nigel. So, take it away.
Back tonight with Gonzo from Amish Chat. Sean will bore us with a 30-minute monologue of the trances. Then after that, we'll discuss your questions at some point. So ask away. Thanks for listening as well. Greatly appreciate it. Kevin Stanley put, what's the view of the pay it rumour? Hope not myself, mate, as well as add Ince and Defoe to the list if we do. Probably just his agent trying to get another payday for the two of them.
Yeah, we would discuss that, haven't we?
Kevin, but you're probably near the mark with the agent comment. My friend and yours, Sean, Paul Turner. Been worried about Sean. With the World Cup on, Sean has not had to come to the defence of the ball for a few weeks or more. with this, Sean and his Twitter account has lost its purpose over the last week or so. So please, Nigel, tell me he's okay. He is okay, Paul. They're still communicating, though it fluctuates.
I want them to sign. Do you know what? Signing Philippe Anderson is going to shut up a lot of the anti-ball people who are going, it's just a sham, it's just a sham, it will never happen. Right. Well, they will eat their words when Anderson.
It goes on to say, bloody out of turners. any of you going Ipswich? Anyone going Ipswich?
No.
When is Ipswich? 21st, isn't it? Or was it the week after? 28th.
Wrong side of the river.
What? The river what? Stour? What?
Thames. River Thames.
Darren Kitchen. Sorry, Chris, are you going Ipswich?
I'm not. I'm trying to sort something out for Wickham, but as Sean well knows. So, no, not Ipswich, sir.
All right.
Yeah, whistle that, don't you worry.
Darren Kitchen, are there any plans to sign a second top-class physio to help the medical team with the acquisition of Jack? Will Big Andy cope with sharing the medical limelight?
I think that was a tongue-in-cheek question. I think there's a very good medical team in place.
Well, I thought we got rid of them all. Have they brought more in?
Yeah, and they've recruited some more.
That's hope they're good. Adam Ross Miller, what do we think of Wilshere signing the season ahead?
We've covered that.
Hopes and thoughts on World Cup 28 and us maybe winning it. Do we think we'll win it? We haven't predicted who we think.
Yeah, 1-0 against Chris? France.
No, France are so well balanced, aren't they? I think it's going to be a struggle for anyone to beat them.
Just to change.
Anyone can. Oh. Right, let me tell you what I told Huey. Right, who thinks Belgium will win, by the way. Anyone can beat anyone. We've seen in this World Cup, anyone can beat anyone. I'll say no more.
Ben Ashelford said, how many more players are we looking to sign? We've not exactly broke the bank yet, so eager to see if there will be more. Well, Ben...
So we've talked about three more, and I forgot to mention this, but let me tell you, that's not the end of it. So after we sign these other three players, we're going to get a few loans in, because we like a loan, and maybe a gamble or two or a freebie.
But only if it fits in with the £70 million net transfer spend, including transfer fees.
Well, that's why I said a loan.
Yeah, but bearing in mind signing with the Anderson and Yamalamalinko and Rocky Balboa, that we're going to crash well over towards the £100 million, so they've got to recoup the players first before they can go out. Because even loan transfers are not freebies, are they, Sean? So, there we go.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you very much.
Good point. Well made.
Gary Prince, unlucky gal in the Super Six. You nearly won it, but you didn't. Will we ever play a home-friendly match in the Athletics Bowl again? I think you should caveat that and say at the start of the season.
Good question. It's a good question. And... the answer is possibly.
Fucking hell.
And the reason is it all comes down to the speed they can move, comfortably move the seats. This summer they're doing two events, so it's a bit difficult. So they're doing the normal anniversary games and a world one day championship. I forget what it's called. But if they're just doing the anniversary games, I think in the future it could be played. But here's a little twist to the tale, Nigel. They're not free. And like when we talked about the
Collins.
James Collins testimonial, it will cost us about £500,000. So we only can do it if we really think we're going to make some profit. And all right, playing someone like Juventus, you might fill it out. But if you'll remember, and you know this because I know because we discussed it before, if you're playing the kind of people we've played before, I've been to pre-season friendlies at the bowling ground and there were like 15,000 people out there from a 35,000 capacity. So my concern is a friendly might only bring 15 or 20,000 in, and it won't bring a lot of the season ticket holders, because I wouldn't go probably unless it was like Real Madrid or something, and I doubt you would either, Nigel or Gonzo.
I quite like what they're doing this year. I don't like it when we fly to the other end of the earth. I quite like what Arsenal used to do. Arsenal used to play Barnet every season, who are not a million miles away from them. So I would quite like us every season to play someone like Ipswich, particularly for, you know, people up in the north of Essex. It's not particularly. I don't care. I'd rather they do one at Southend as well. And just give.
But does it matter if it's in the London Stadium? Is my point. Well, this is my thing. A lot of people seem to worry, but when you look back at the history of pre-season friendlies, go back 10 years. You won't find a crowd over 20,000. It was never a sellout. Would you agree, Nigel?
Well, I went to those games. So, yeah, I would agree. But, I mean, you had the Bobby Moore Cup. Then, for money, they sold the name off. And it became the Spobet Cup, the Betway Cup. Well, they're still playing for the Betway Cup, aren't they? But now they play abroad.
We never won it. Anyway, we must move on because I promised it will be under an hour.
It is going to be under an hour. Don't worry, son. I would go to the game if they held it. I don't think it will, but I think the club could be a bit more honest in that and Boxing Days, but we know they're not going to be.
Yeah.
So we've said it time and time again.
Yeah.
Next up, Simon Pope. Was it free tickets for a game of my choice for winning? No, it weren't. Will you be doing it again next season? Yes, I will. So next season, I'll put it on the Facebook group. More than just a podcast.
Talking about tickets.
Yeah.
George has got 4 tickets for Wednesday for Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Could I just point out, I did say, do you want me to give it a shout out? And George actually said, no, the wrong age group.
Oh, yeah. Well, he asked me to tweet. Interesting, but he asked me to tweet out on my Twitter account.
Well, you tweet like a teenager at times, so he thought you had like for the buyer kids.
So if you listen to this before Wednesday, make George an offer for 4 Justin Timberlakes.
Face value £140 each, I will warn you, but they are next to the stage.
But he said he said make him an offer at the end of the day. Make him an offer. Close you get to Wednesday, make him an offer.
Yeah, if you don't like football.
Yeah. Semi-finals on. Moving on.
Right. Ryan Darlow. Can Sean pronounce Jack Wilshere okay? Or has he been practising?
Jack Wilshere.
Ah, I see. Well done. Matthew Kemp. Is the Anderson deal on or off? I hear today it's back on. Sean?
Yeah, on, but could be off at the end of the day until you know, both sides agree and he jumps on a plane. But at the moment, it's not completely dead. It's back on as far as I'm aware.
Last up on Facebook, John Newman, do you think we'll ever sign a £40 to £50 million player under these owners?
There you go. Anderson, yeah. 40 million.
38 million, I thought you said.
Yeah, but the agent's fees will take it up to 50 million.
Yeah, lucky.
Exactly.
Sean breathes a sigh of release as I quickly flip to Twitter. Try and recover. Twitter's gone a bit mad tonight, but a lot of it's been sort of conversations between Chris and some cartoon.
I keep on telling Callintown Len, he's a cartoon!
So, a couple of tweets tonight, because I still can't get the hang of how it works. Podcasting tonight, joining Kermit Fuzzy is the great Gonzo Big Nose. No animal tonight, though, because there's a picture of like the 4 of us, an animal, just so you know. Get your Muppet questions in before 8:30. And the replies we had were, do guests get enrolled in the WhatsApp group?
Ooh, that's a good question. At the moment, Chris has not been enrolled into our WhatsApp group.
No, still an outsider.
He is under consideration in our WhatsApp group called the Circle of Trust.
I've got my own in the know stuff. You lot, it's not me missing out, it's you lot missing out.
What's that?
Well, I'm just saying, I've got my own rumours and my own bits and pieces. you lot are missing out, not me. Okay. The listener is listening out.
Chris said, get to find out what Golden Sully have on their toast in the morning if I'm accepted into the prestigious secret podcast.
breakfast is never an option. And I don't reveal who my sources are, by the way. I don't know why you're saying that.
Yeah, I don't
know. I've never revealed who my sources are.
Nico then said, what in your opinion... This is a great question. Question of the night from Nico. What is, in your opinion, is the best Muppet movie? Chris?
Well, you answered it. I'll tell you what I think. It wasn't a Muppet movie at all. I used to have it on Betamax. Was one with... wasn't a movie, but was Stevie Wonder singing Superstition with the Muppets. Fantastic.
There you go. We're moving on because we've got 3 minutes left.
Betamax? Dear. Who had Betamax?
Come on.
My nan.
Finish up.
Of course, the answer was...
In Ilford. My nan in Ilford, who lived next door to Nigel Benn. There you go.
Muppet How many Christmas more you got? Carol. Well, hold up, Shep, listen. Yeah, I'm reading. Wait your turn. Then another question went out. And the answer, fuck off. Is the Anderson deal back on from Ed Hughes?
And we said.
Mark Cockney Bond said, leave plenty of room for Gonzo's Cheshire Cat Smile tonight after Jack signing. I think that's your lot, people.
Excellent. Right. Well. We've got time to finish. It's goodbye from me, Sean. It's goodbye from Gonzo.
And we do predictions.
There's no predictions. Oh, what for the semi-final?
Yeah.
I'll go 2-0 against Croatia, 1-0 against France. Gonzo.
Let's say France, high scoring game, mate. You want to get over. You want to bet on that one to be a high scoring game. France. So France beat Belgium by I'd say 2 goals, make that 3-1. I think squeaky bum. I think we might do Croatia on penalties.
Right. And then win in the final, yeah?
Well, no, I don't think so. But anyway, hopefully.
20 seconds for you, Nigel.
All right. Belgium to win 3-1. England to win 2-0. Belgium to win 2-0 in the final.
Ooh. Anyway, that's all of the time we got for this episode. It's goodbye from Nigel.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Gonzo.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me again. Goodbye.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
More than just a podcast.
Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore.
1966.
Not Harry Kane.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.